A pretty famous contrast that people like to point out is noticing the difference between Rosh Hashanah and secular New Year's. When it comes to the New Year's, it's a big celebration. It's a big party. People are wild, do crazy things, stay up to midnight to go to Times Square to watch the ball drop. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's certainly not like that. It's a very serious day. It's a day of tefillah, a day of davening, connecting to Hashem. The recognition, like the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah says, that we are judged for our lives and what's going to be happening to us throughout the year. And therefore, I don't want to bring that contrast because that's been done. But I want to point out a very different contrast. Think about the month before secular New Year's. Think about December. So December, they focus on their holiday at the end of the month. It's just a regular month. But think about the month before Rosh Hashanah. Think about Elul. If you think Rosh Hashanah is serious, Elul is also very serious. Elul is the time where we sit back and reflect upon how did our year go? How have the last 11 months been since last year Rosh Hashanah? How have we behaved? How have we acted? Have we changed the way we said we wanted to change when we spoke to Hashem honestly and earnestly last year on Rosh Hashanah or not? What do our lives look like? And where do we want to be, even more importantly? Can we change? Honestly, speaking for myself, honestly, maybe I didn't change that much over this past year. Maybe I certainly, there are personal goals I wanted to achieve. Maybe some I achieved for a little bit. Maybe some I achieved a little less than I wanted to on a more long-term scale. But overall, I certainly have ways to go. And certainly there's a lot of improvement I need to do. And when it comes to thinking about how the year went, so El is the time to now look forward and say, Hashem, let me start now. Let me change my actions now. And I want to share with you a very important mashal I think about this time of year. Imagine there's a person who has a very big building project he wants to undertake. And he goes to Home Depot and he picks out fills his car with $1,000 worth of merchandise. And he goes to the front, he goes to checkout, and the person behind the counter puts everything in the bags for him and says, okay, rings it out to $1,000 here. Please give me the credit card. And he opens his wallet, and he doesn't have any credit cards with him. And he looks, and all he has is $100. $100. So he says, is there any way, can you help me out? I really want this project to get underway. He says, I can't let you go. You have $100. Put back $900 in material and I'll let you take $100 worth of it. So he says, can I please speak to the manager? He says, sure. She calls up the manager from the back. The manager comes up and says, what's the problem? She explains to the manager, to her boss, the situation. And he turns to the manager and says, please, here, I'll give you $100. I'll give you everything I have. Look, he opens his wallet and says, I have nothing left. Please, I'm really good for my word. I have a plan. I'm going to get the money to you in 1 month. It's going to happen. The manager finds compassion in himself. He says, you know what? I'll take the $100. I'll give you this loan. Come back. Come back and pay me back the $900 in a month, as you say. Okay? Thank you so much. He really is appreciative. Takes all the merchandise and he goes to his car. The next man comes. Everything is rung. And it's also about $1,000 of material. And he opens up his wallet to pay. And he doesn't have any credit cards. And he doesn't even have $100. He has nothing. The woman's there like rolling her eyes like, this again? I have to deal with this again? And she says, I can't let you go. She says, can I please speak to the manager? Okay. She calls back the manager. Manager comes up. She explains the situation to him. The man turns to the manager and he says, please do me this tova. Please help me out. I really have this big project I also want to start working on. I'm good for my money. I'm really good. I keep my word. I'm an honest man. I'll pay you back the $1,000 in a month. The manager looks at him and says, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't let you go. And the man's furious. He says, what do you mean you can't let me go? You just let someone go right before me. I saw it with my own eyes. 5 minutes ago, you let a guy go with all the merchandise that he didn't pay for either. The manager looks at him and says, there's a very big difference between you and the man who was in front of you. You didn't give me anything. I don't know if I could trust you. You haven't showed 1 ounce of honesty, the fact that you're willing, the fact that you can or want to be able to pay. The man in front of you had $100 and he gave it to me. He gave me what he had. He gave me part of it. And because of that, I really trust that he's going to pay off the rest. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be, in 1 month's time from now, we're going to be coming to Hashem. We're going to be saying, Hashem, please, please let us live another year of life. Let our families live another year of life. Let us have health. Let us have wealth. Let us prosper. Let us have really the greatest things that we could have in our lives. Please give it to us, Hashem. Please give us what we need. And if we go to Hashem and we say, of course, what's the second half of all those tefillos is, Hashem, I'm going to be better. I'm really going to be better this year. You'll see. I'm going to be more makpid on this, more careful with that. I'm going to be more on time to davening. I'm going to do it, Hashem. This is going to be the year. So what's Hashem going to say to us? So if we show nothing up until now, Hashem's going to, could say, how do I know you're going to do anything? You haven't proven anything to me until this point. But if we start now, 1 month before, and already in Elul, we're making our changes. And you know what? We can't say to Hashem, honestly, I've done everything I told you I would do, and I've been the best Jew I could be. Okay, that might not be the case. But we could hopefully say to Hashem, you know what, Hashem, I really did change. I didn't change to the extent I wanted to change, but I really did change. And we could give Hashem that $100. It was hard work. It wasn't the $1,000 that we really owe Hashem for all the merchandise that we want, for all the things we're asking for. We could say, Hashem, I really tried. I did try. And if a month before Rosh Hashanah, we have that going into the new year by saying, look at the last month, Hashem. Look how I changed. Look how I've been more careful in this mitzvah, in that mitzvah, to avoid this avera. Look how I've been. If we're able to say that to Hashem, Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to let you go. I'm going to give you this loan. But you have to pay it back. You have to really, this year, you really have to be on top of it. You have to be honest to your word. We could say, thank you so much, Hashem. But if we haven't done anything, then what could Hashem say to us? You want another handout? You haven't done anything. You haven't given me a penny. So that's the important thing. That's the avodah of El. The month before, not just Rosh Hashanah being a serious time compared to New Year's, the month before Elul, the whole month is a time to be more serious, a time to be more careful. And you know what? The more careful we are this time of year, and the more we want to change, the more consistent we are, the more the change is going to be everlasting. When it comes to halacha, in a halachic sense, not in a machshava sense, in a halachic sense, when we start saying, let's say, Mashiv Aruch Merdei Hashem, so we start saying that at the end of Sukkot. So what's the halacha? If 2 weeks after Sukkot, I'm davening Shemoneh Esrei, and I'm up to modim towards the end of Shemoneh Esrei, and I have the thought, you know what? I really don't know if I said Mashiv Aruch Merdei Hashem. I was totally spacing out during that bracha, and maybe some more brachas, but I was totally spacing out during that bracha. I have no idea if I said it. So what is the halacha 2 weeks after Sukkot? So the halacha is you have to go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. You have to start over, because odds are, since it hasn't become a habit for you to say Mashiv Aruch, then you assumed that you did not say it. You have to start over. However, let's say 2 months after Sukkot, it's the month, it's a few months afterwards, it's the month of Kislev, and you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're up to Modim, and you think about, you know, I'm not sure if I said Mashiv Aruch or not. I really can't remember. I was spacing out during the second bracha again. The halacha is you do not have to go back to the beginning. Continue from where you are till the end. Why? The reason is because at that point, it's become a habit for you to say Mashe Baruch and Yoshua Nasrei, and you could assume that you probably said it. Even without thinking, you could assume you said it. It has become second nature. What's the demarcation point? The demarcation point is 30 days, 1 month. If you consistently do an action for 1 month, if for 1 month you're saying Mashe Baruch day in and day out, every Shmona Esrei, you could assume that after a month of saying it, even without thinking about it, you should think, but if you weren't thinking, you were spacing out, you could assume you said Mashe Baruch. But if it's less than a month, you could assume that it has not become second nature to you. And it's the same thing is true when it comes to the world of changing our midos, of changing our behaviors. If we want to change our behavior and we say, Hashem, I'm going to be better, I'll just pick an example. Let's say a person typically davens at home. And they decide, you know what? I want to be more careful. I want to daven in shul. Okay? Or a person, whatever analogy works best for you, or a person doesn't always daven shacharis. And they want to say, you know, I want to be consistent. I want to daven shacharis every day. And so if you do that for a month straight, every day, you don't miss a beat. If you do that for a month straight, then it is now a part of you. It's not just where you now go to shul or you now some like daven shacharis, like that is a part of you. You are a person who always does this. It's something that you could expect. It's something that the next day you don't have to question. Because if you only do something, think about it. If you only do something for 3 days, who knows if you're going to do it the fourth? If you only do something for 2 weeks, who knows that you're going to continue it? But once you have a month in and you've been consistent, it's a part of you. And you know that you could be on top of it. And Hashem knows you're going to be consistent with it. And that's the most important thing for this time of year, to show Hashem that this month of Elul, I'm really going to change. And I'm going to get to Rosh Hashanah, and I'm going to be a new person in this aspect of my Avodas Hashem. And there's even one step deeper. Because when it comes to wanting to change one thing, so yeah, that takes 30 days to change a habit. But what if you have to change something, yesh me'ayin, like something that's totally out of nothing, like to totally transform yourself. It's not a simple change, but it's something huge. What's the situation with that? So the number 40 is significant for this. Think about the number 40. Bnei Yisrael were in the desert for 40 years. Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for 40 days. The Mabul was raining. It was raining, intense rain that destroyed the world for 40 days and 40 nights. What is it with the number 40? So 40 is when something is totally from nothing, totally new. You have to totally erase what you've done. It's not just like the first analogy where you dive in sometimes, you know, I want to be more consistent. It's not like a quick fix. It's totally erasing everything, starting with a clean slate and building off of it. In order for that change to be lasting, that needs 40 days. When Bnei Yisrael, when they sinned with the Chet HaMeraglim, Hashem knew they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. It needed to be a people that wanted it. It needed to be a people that weren't scared and needed 40 years for the next generation to come to for that to happen. When it came to Moshe Rabbeinu getting the Torah, something, a gift, a beautiful gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we never had, and something that literally changes the world and the Jewish landscape, Moshe Rabbeinu needed to be up there for 40 days and 40 nights for us to receive it. And when it comes to Hashem saying, you know, this world, the people here aren't great. I need to start over. I'm going to take Noach, I'm going to take his family, and I'm going to start over. It needs 40 days of intense rain to wipe out everything that was and to start new, to have a clean canvas. But there's another 40. That other 40 is from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. The 40 days, exactly 40 days, from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur is a time when Moshe Rabbeinu came down and says, Salachti kidvarecha. You are forgiven for the chayta egal b'nei Yisrael. And it's a time, that's why Yom Kippur is such an auspicious time. Because we are forgiven for the chayta egal. It wasn't just a random day that's picked. You know what? After Rosh Hashanah, I'll give you 10 days. It's not just a random number. Specifically, the time when we are forgiven for the chayta egal, and it was embedded in Jewish history that that is a day of forgiveness for us. And so from Ella, to say, you know, I need a little more than a quick fix. It's not just a small little shacharis. I really need to do a lot. If we are consistent, not just for Elul, but for the Aseres Me'etzuvah as well, for the 40 days from Elul till Yom Kippur, now Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to see this, see us, see our sincerity, and say, you know what? You really changed yourself. You really are a different person. And because of that, hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, we'll be judged for an amazing, amazing year for ourselves, for our family, and for all of Klal Yisrael. So Be'ez Hashem, treat this Elul with the intensity that it really deserves. And think of something. It's important. The greatest Rabbanim give us advice that it's not about trying to necessarily change. Of course, if there are some big things you know you can change, you should do that. But think of something that's concrete. Think of maybe one or two things that you know you really could change. You know you want to change. And hopefully, let's take those things and let's come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rosh Hashanah and say, you know what? I wasn't able to be the best Jew that I wanted to be from the last Rosh Hashanah until now, but I've had a pretty good month. And here's what I have to offer you for Hashem. And then to go the next 10 days and take it even a step further and be consistent and commit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hopefully Hashem will give us that loan. Hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge us for an amazing year.